Oddly, it was not until we began to pen this preface that it occurred to us that we have written the economic history of our own lifetime. The innovation illusion starts in the early 1970s, which also happens to be the time when both of us were born. Not that we knew much about innovation and economics then, but our journey to adolescence, in a remote place in northern Sweden once described, unfairly, as the part of the country where the sun never shines, was one of rising expectations. That period had its own economic problems, but people around us still felt that the future was a friend, and that the younger generations were going to live far richer lives. And why not? Everything seemed to work pretty well. Schools in remote villages like ours were, unlike today, actually quite good. Libraries nestled everywhere. Whatever sport you were interested in, there were public pools and centers open for most, if not all, preferences. The economy hummed along, despite mounting macroeconomic problems. Productivity growth was still fine. Real wages went up. Unemployment was low, at least in the beginning, and most young men and women who wanted to leave their parental homes could get a job and an apartment, or even own a small house. Across the world, Sweden was still seen as a utopia. And who would not like to live there? In fact, it turned out that many Swedes did not like it. Like other parts of Europe, the country was at the tail end of the long growth cycle that started a few years after the end of World War II. Sweden had been lucky. Neutrality had shielded the country from major war damage, and all its skilled and innovative industrial companies could enjoy remarkable export growth in the following decades, while the rest of Europe was still rebuilding and spending large amounts on capital, machinery, and infrastructure goods. But Sweden was fraying at the edges, and its economic system was gradually consuming rather than cultivating human talent. Our parents' boomer generation entered an economy in which aspirations for human development were unleashed. The economy we got to know, however, was gradually shrinking the universe for individuals and their desire to pursue a different life than the one they were born into. With one political party continuously in government for 32 years, the arrogance of power was wearing away people's sense of freedom. It curtailed openness to ideas, dissent, and people who wanted their lives to taste other than plain vanilla. Taxes had become almost oppressive. The filmmaker Ingmar Bergman left the country to become a tax fugitive in West Germany. The writer Astrid Lindgren drew the ire of the high and mighty for complaining that her marginal tax rate was 102%, meaning that she had to pay more in tax than she got in income for every new penny earned. Sweden was not far from introducing a hard version of a Yugoslavia-style workers' fund, which gradually would have transferred the ownership of listed companies into union-controlled funds. We did not observe it then, but Sweden at the time was a planning machine. It was a hybrid economy, combining bits and pieces of capitalism and socialism from a smorgasbord of economic ideologies. Swedish planning, it was said, worked wonders for people, business, and the government. Prosperity required economic planning and hordes of managers. But the heavy hand of government gradually stymied experimentation, innovation, and economic initiative. Sweden was supposed to be different from other countries, but that presumption, along with the country's general faith in its exceptionalism, proved dead wrong. Swedes were neither smarter nor better than others, and once the long post-war growth boom had ended, the souffle did not rise anymore. The only way Sweden could maintain its competitiveness was to make its citizens poorer through recurring devaluations. We grew up, became adolescent, and the secluded and managerialist nanny culture increasingly itched like a skin rash. But then came globalization, and what a liberation that was for the country and us. It felt as if we had left the Ice Age and discovered a world filled with flora and fauna. The Cold War suddenly ended. Sweden sparked life into some of its ossified sectors and fossilized monopolies.